Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. As you know, I always get the Class A guests. And of course, now I've got the Greek gods. Demeter, the goddess of grains herself. Angie Setzer, what's up, Angie?
Hey, thanks for having me. I am excited to I'm now officially living the dream.
Here we go. So. We're mix it up a little bit. It's great to have you. And of course, you have interviewed me occasionally on Market Rally, and of course, yep. You don't get a word in edgewise when I'm talking because I just fire it out in my 90 seconds and get it off the air. But so, Angie, you know, first of all, tell us about what you do, and how did you get the Demeter moniker, the goddess of grains?
Yeah, well, I run an elevator, a chain of elevators in Michigan. So I am the vice president of grain for Citizens Elevators, is what we're called. And we have five facilities, and then I have a state-of-the-art direct ship program, which means I work directly with farmers to kind of bridge the gap between them and the end users in our state or in our region. And I've been trading grain for 13 years now, and I joke, I don't have a degree. Everyone, you know, comes out with a agribusiness or an economics degree or something, or they say you're supposed to be in this position, and I graduated with an English degree. So I just kind of started and went to the school of life, I guess you could say, on the trading side, and kind of moved my way up, and now I handle, like I said, 12, 13 million bushel a year that I'm directly responsible for. And that includes trading all the spreads, the basis, and worrying about what the futures market's doing as well each day. So keeps me busy, keeps me on my toes. I now live out here in Iowa with my husband. And so I get to see both sides. I work in the Eastern Corn Belt, and I live in the Western Corn Belt. And so it's a lot of fun, and the Goddess of Grain moniker there was definitely tongue-in-cheek. I had to be convinced to get on Twitter, and so when I signed up, I never thought it would be anything I spent more time on. You know, I'm not really a big Facebook fan or social media at all, especially any sort of fads or anything. I tend to avoid it, but I discovered that Twitter is actually pretty darn awesome when it comes to getting news. And then I also discovered that there was a lot of false or just weird narratives put out by a lot of market analysts and quote-unquote experts and things like that. So I kind of like to cut through some of that BS and say, okay, you know, this is being discussed as bearish when in reality it's just not as bullish as what it should be, or stuff like that. You know, try to kind of inform farmers and communicate with them in ways they can understand, and like I said, cut through that. A lot of times you like to see some of these traders talk above their customer or kind of leave their customer in the dirt or dust or whatever, you know, and go way beyond what the customer needs to know when it comes to information. So I like to try to change that around and work direct. And so, yeah, the Goddess of Grain side, definitely a more tongue-in-cheek sort of thing, but it kind of has a life of its own, so I just go with it.
Hey, why not? You know, now do you, I know you have, I have no degree in anything. I have a degree in hard knocks. That's my degree.
And yeah.
I've been trading grain since 1980. Just a little bit longer than you.
A little longer.
But, you know, you have, you know, obviously a good opinion, and you're wise. Now, you have a farming background, though, correct?
Yep, I grew up on a farm. My family, we farmed in central Michigan. I grew up on, I say it was a potato farm, but really we had everything. You know, Michigan is the second most diverse agricultural state in the country, which I like to share. It surprises a lot of people, you know, especially I come out in Iowa and I'm like, oh yeah, we had pickles and peas and dry beans and sugar beets and, you know, cattle, and we had a dairy farm for a while. I joke now I have mud in my blood. You know, I watched my grandpa passed away in the early 90s, and I watched the farm kind of slowly, you know, just we ran into some issues, different contract things, different market things, stuff like that. And, you know, in the end, if you spend more money than you take in, you're not going to last so very long. And so that's what we kind of started to see. And my grandpa was huge on diversification and just smart business modeling and things like that. And so I think I got a lot of his genetics or his thought process and stuff when it comes to the business-minded side of it. And it just, it's fit for me, you know, kind of similar to you. Like you said, you don't have a degree or anything like that, but it's almost, and this may sound funny, but it almost feels like a sixth sense in a way where you can kind of get a feel for which way the market should be going or if it's getting overdone or underdone or if there's a story that we should be paying attention to that no one is at this point in time. And that's kind of how it felt for me since I got started. It just felt natural. And when it comes to working with farmers and stuff like that, it goes right down to, you know, just as simple as, are you making money? If you're not, why are you doing it? Kind of thing.
Well, but you must be a good poker player too, because you kind of got that feel for how the markets move, because just because a story comes out doesn't make that the way the market's going to move. Would you agree or disagree with
that? Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, it's just like that USDA report from last week. You know, everyone went into it scared to death that we were going to see a bearish number. Now, you know, prior, and I'm going to stop doing this at this point in time because it seems like the last couple times I've said it, you know, oh, well, you know, the real bearish side would have to be over 92 million acres. Well, USDA comes out at 94. The yield has to, you know, to be really bearish, yield has to be 175. Yield comes out 175.1. So I'm not going to do that anymore. I had a report. But, yeah, you kind of got to get a feel. Is the bearishness factored in? You know, what is it going to take another leg on this thing and just get a feel for direction and when traders are going to enter or exit? And that doesn't mean I'm always right. Believe me, I've had my ass handed to me a few different times. Sorry about the language, but
this show you can say whatever you want because I'm going to call the USDAC bullshit anyways. But
all right, good.
You know, I mean, I get it. And actually going into that report, I had orders working below the market because, as I said on air every day last week, that the market themselves, they've already been priced in this information. And I think that's something that people don't quite understand, is markets have a tendency to price the information well ahead before it comes out. What do you think?
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, and that's what, so it's kind of funny to me because a lot of people say, well, that's why it's futures. That's why you call it futures, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, you know, yeah, to a certain extent, but the market factors in what it expects to have happen in the future. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to happen to solidify it or not. And yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. The market is factored in, you know, basically any kind of crap sandwich from the USDA. And at the same time, I think most traders have recognized the fact that a 175 at this point is probably counting their, you know, chickens before they hatch kind of deal, in the sense that now we just are basically, we have what could be viewed as the top end of yield estimates. And you're starting to hear, you know, and of course I think the market narrative tends to flip too once everyone gets as bearish as they possibly can. And I said it the start of this week, sometimes the cure for a bearish cycle is to get the most bearish piece of information you could imagine. And then all of a sudden it's like you flick down the light in the basement and you realize, you know, the monster that you thought was under the steps is just a wad of coats, you know, and all of a sudden shit comes clear and we move on. And that's kind of, I think, where we are now, is the USDA number has been factored in. And I think a big crop has been factored in. I think we almost have to prove it now. That we have this big crop, and because of the fact that we have accelerated our demand so much, and we look at where we're going to get a secondary dose of supply here anytime soon between now and the South American harvest, our options are pretty damn limited. I mean, you can talk Russia numbers as much as you want, but how well does, you know, how are you going to see foreign buyers going into a country that's staging or potentially staging, you know, for another face down with Ukraine and things like that? I mean, they're still not a well-trusted supplier, so you can have grain coming out of your ears in Russia, and it still is not going to trump.
Don't trump it and hold your ears. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with the goddess of grains. God, am I lucky today. And Angie Setzer from Citizens Elevator, correct? You're the vice president. This is the Bubba Show. Make sure when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. We've just passed 240,000 downloads a month. I want to get to 300,000. I need your help. This is the Bubba Show. We'll be right back with more from Angie after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba. to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the goddess herself. You've heard her on Market Rally Radio. You've heard her all over the place. You've heard her on Iowa Public Television. And I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know she lived in Iowa. I thought she lived in Michigan. But we're back with Angie Setzer from as the goddess of grains from Citizen Elevator. All right, so you're trumping corn coming out of your ears. Go ahead and finish your story, my dear.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes down to it, the fact that we have a lot of demand is going to trump any sort of large supply, and then cheap prices, cure cheap prices. And until the South American crop's confirmed, I think we're going to have to have some risk premium in this puppy. So, you know, you can bang the bearish drum all you want to, but I think there's a lot of ways we could see this thing turn around eventually and continue to give some opportunities.
Okay, so I say that the USDA report was bullshit. I say they should take that report and shove it. But because you know, I have a lot of farmers that I deal with and producers, and I have not heard of one. I don't have one that's told me they got over 100 yield yet 175. So where are they going to find this? And to me, that just makes the market. To me, I say the bottoms are in corn and wheat. Now, it doesn't mean they are, but I'm prepared to buy them. I am buying them myself. But at the end of the day, could we go lower? Sure. But I think that we've found the bottom of the cycle, and I don't see where they're going to find these numbers. Can you tell me where they're going to find them?
No, I mean, I think out here, out in Iowa, Minnesota, you know, out west, the Western Corn Belt area, they have a good crop, but they have last year's crop, I think, out here. Now, a lot of times they'll try to tell you that the Eastern Corn Belt's been better, and that's where the higher yield would come from. Because if you think back to last year, the Western Corn Belt was pretty solidly perfect. I mean, they had good rainfall, low temperatures, everything looked real nice. They had a great crop, record crop out where I'm at here. I'm in north central Iowa. You know, so it was a pretty awesome crop. I see that. Well, now they're trying to say that the Eastern Corn Belt is going to make up for the losses that they had a year ago and way outperform last year. And I think that's bullshit. I'll say it too. It's liberating to call it that because that's what it is. Right now Michigan's had drought conditions. I have a lot of customers in Michigan that are telling me that they're, corn crop's worse than what it was in 2012. I'm going to be traveling to Ohio to speak the tail end of next week. Looking forward to seeing what that looks like. They're one of the only parts of the Corn Belt that's considered moderate drought. You look at the high temperatures in July and August and heat in July and August in 2010, which 2010 is the year that we could say most reflects potentially this year. 2010, the USDA came out with a much higher corn yield estimate. And ended up dropping it 10 to 15 bushel. I don't have the numbers right in front of me per acre by the time the final yield number came out because of the heat that took place in the nighttime in 2010. And if you look at the Eastern Corn Belt so far, they have been well above normal, mirroring 2010 in some degrees when it comes to their low temperatures seen in July and August. So. To me, you know, I'm not calling it a crop failure by any means. I think we'll still, you know, even at a 165, it'd be the third largest yield on record. I think the USDA, I joked yesterday with a customer, but it's true. The USDA is a lot like a wife. Very rarely are you going to hear the USDA say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." But they may slowly make you feel as though you were potentially right when the argument's all over. So I think when it comes down to it, the USDA is going to come out, and we're going to see some yield adjustments lower, some production adjustments lower. And at this point, I think the demand number is pretty darn accurate. So I think we have the potential there for lower carryout. And we're talking a 1.7 billion bushel carryout on corn on paper is not bullish, but it's not as bearish as where the market's at right now, and that alone could really kind of prop some short covering and push us well above numbers that traders think are possible right now, in my opinion.
Well, you know, again, we have a tendency to, you know, overestimate, and of course, I said on last Wednesday on Chip Show, I said that the Fed and the USA must have had a conversation together because they seem to be missing the big picture, and unfortunately, that throws a wrench into a lot of farmers and producers, because unfortunately, I believe that a lot of the farmers and producers get a lot of bad information from some of the people that they deal with, which creates a bigger problem. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. I think. It goes back down to the conversation that you have about market narrative and what people are feeding people. And I call it the path of least resistance analysis. And at times like this, this is when you get, you know, and you and I are in agreement. I think we're on the low end of the range. I came out with my Pro Farmer column last week, Cash is King, and basically stated why I thought that the market narrative would be soon switching and that we had established the low end of the corn and wheat market. And I think we've even put in a low for beans at this point in time until the South American crops prove proven. But so you, at this point, this is when you'll start to see people tend to feed on fear, and concern over the farmer side. And next thing you know, they're either buying puts that are skewed to the heavy side because the market's already lost a buck something a bushel. So they're buying a put that will, you know, almost most definitely expire worthless unless they're spending an arm and a leg and buying it in the money. And even then it's questionable as to how much more it'll gain. Or they're selling the cash side to the end user at a really shitty basis and kind of taking it on the chin on that side and not being exposed to the potential that's there. You know, but on the flip side, I mean, I was on maternity leave during the summer rally, which I should have known would happen, but I saw so many analysts, again, go into that path of least resistance analysis where next thing you know, we're talking drought and heat and corn yields in the upper 150s, low 160s, carryouts in the billion bushel range, et cetera, et cetera. And those same people are now coming out saying that corn needs to go to 275. I mean, I struggle, you know, with some of the information these guys get and some of the directives that they're given. And sometimes I feel like they just are fed or the emotion is stoked by some of these folks, and it makes me sad for a producer who gets caught up in it.
And don't you think that, you know, I have a big concern, you know, I'm more of a numbers guy, you know, I understand the business, but I don't really care, you know, I don't even look at I didn't read the USA report until Saturday. Okay. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it doesn't matter. And I think one of the problems in the industry is that a lot of people are giving bad information as well that leads people to make bad decisions when you mm-hmm. really just have to look at your own production and what you're doing and where your costs lie, and that will give you a much better handle instead of getting caught up with the crowd. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, that's my biggest push during my marketing meetings or anything like that, is to forget about what the hell your neighbor's doing. You know, and that's what I get a lot of times. Guys will call me and say, well, what's everyone else doing? Well, it really doesn't matter. You know what I mean? You want to keep an eye on what your neighbor's doing so you get a feel for what's taking place and how it will affect your local market. You know, if everyone in your neighborhood's selling grain, then that's going to plug up your local pipeline, but it really doesn't have an influence on futures overall. And like I said, you get all of these analysts getting on TV at the same time and saying the same thing. And slowly you get this idea that we're never going to see a correction, and it snowballs on itself. And when it comes down to it, I tell guys they need to basically worry about three things. That is their P&L, from their overall standpoint, what they need to sell for, where their break even is and how much they're trying to make from a margin standpoint. And then from the cash grain side, which is what, you know, I work in heavily, is they have to make sure they have enough space at harvest time to be able to put away the crop that they're going to produce, and their cash flow needs are covered. And then once they're able to focus on those three things, P&L, space, cash flow needs, they're able to kind of divorce themselves from that everyday market move side of things, which, in my opinion, growers need to do from an overall standpoint. You know, from a grower perspective, he's in the marathon, not the sprint. He shouldn't have a grower be a day trader and say that that's what he's doing for his operation. If he wants to be a day trader on the side, have at it. But from a day-to-day market moving standpoint, I think there are too many traders, and that's our job as traders, is to watch the market daily. I think there are too many traders trying to convince a farmer that that's what he needs to be doing, when the reality is he has three things to focus on, and emotion is not one of them.
Well, you know, and of course that goes along with any line of trading in the world. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're trading, your emotions have to be left at the door, because markets do leave a clear footprint of what their intentions are going to be and where they're going to go. And the bottom line is that unless you're going to sell that day, there's no reason to watch the market. And I try to tell all the farmers and producers out there, hey, don't look at the market every minute. And that, the worst thing ever happened to everybody is everybody got iPhones, because now they're constantly checking the market on a minute-by-minute basis. We're going to come back with more with the goddess of grains, Demeter. Now, Angie Setzer. She's on top of it. She worked with Citizens. What is it? Citizens what? What's it called? Citizens what? What's it?
Citizens Elevator. Citizens Elevator.
I can't remember. I'm old. I'm senile. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Remember, when you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm. You can get the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. We will be back after the break with more from the goddess of Grange, Angie Setzer, right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the goddess herself, Angie Setzer. Always on top of your game. So you get to be a talking head. You've done Market Rally Radio. You do Iowa Public TV. How do you like being the big boss and being able to tell people where to go?
I enjoy it. I really do. I mean, it's always an adventure, though. It's definitely something that I fell into, I guess. You can thank Twitter. That's what the Mike Pearson from Market to Market joked, that I am the Kardashian of ag. And I'm not sure if that was an insult or not. I'm going to take it as a compliment. But, yeah, I'm the YouTube star of our generation, perhaps, because that's where I got started. I'm not really one of the crowd, you could say. And so, but it's fun. It's always interesting. You'll get some really good feedback that makes it worthwhile. And then every now and again, they tell you not to read the comments, but I still do because I'm a glutton for punishment. So I had a few real funny ones that I find. My favorite one still to this day was a guy saying I didn't know anything about margin calls. You know, when we're sending millions to Chicago at the end of each day to cover our elevator positions. So that's always an adventure. And it's a good time. I do U.S. Farm Report. I've been on Ag Day. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, my main starting part on Twitter was to get on and kind of pull the quote back or try to take away some of the quote unquote magic that people tend to see when it comes to market analysts and things like that, and say, hey, we're people too. We just are going with our gut, and this is, you know, we're no different than what Joe Farmer is out there. We just have a different sort of focus. And that's what I always tell my guys. Your job is to grow the crop. My job is to help you figure out all of the intricacies of the market to maximize your profit. So that's my main thing. And I like to have a little bit of fun and encourage guys to kind of be serious about what they're doing, but also not be over, too serious to where they feel it's life or death based on a day's close or something of that nature.
Right, because, there's always the next day. And that's, one thing I think you have to understand. I mean, I look at the markets now and I go, well, okay, we're down here at these ugly levels, and of course, we know that nobody's profitable at these numbers. But at the end of the day, if you can wait, and I know you've written about storage and holding, if you can, and I think that's always the wise thing to do. If you can do it without a great deal of cost, I think you're better off a lot of times. Like last summer at the same time, I said, hey, just hold them. You'll get a chance to sell, and of course we did. But I think we get too excited and too caught up in things that we have no effect over, like the weather. I mean, if we just go back, a month ago to July 4th, you know, everybody was, well, the weather, and of course, corn went to 440, and I go, you guys are nuts. This is not right. You cannot be doing this because, A, everybody's on the same side of the boat, and it's going to sink, and you're way overpricing everything, and of course, we did fall down, and what do you think about that stuff?
Well, I agree. I mean, that's why we get way too caught up and spend way too much time focusing on the stuff we can't change. You know, twice this year, we've gotten really shitty corn reports from the USDA. March 31st with the acreage, and then, of course, last week's report or the August 12th report with the yield number. And both times I you know, came on Twitter and basically said, shut the screens off, go home, take your family on vacation, albeit a cheap one because price sucks, but, you know, walk away because there's nothing you can do to change the USDA numbers that come out. There's nothing you can do to change the weather. You know, I have a few customers that I work with that, you know, every time something the least bit perfect happens, you know, they kind of fall into that Eeyore mentality where there's a dark cloud over top of them and it's raining just on them. And, you know, the reality is you still have your family, you still have your health, you still have the ability to wake up tomorrow, you know, and the markets and what's happening from a production standpoint is just a fleeting moment when it comes down to it in the whole scope of things, and to focus on what really matters. And, you know, and like you said, though, if you go in and all last winter, I preached to guys that I anticipated we would see corn trade up towards that 440 level. You know, the bulk of my customers had target orders in ranging, you know, starting on the December board at 390. And we had scale sell orders in all the way up to 445. 453 was our next in line to be triggered. Unfortunately, we didn't quite make it that high. So, you know, but we had orders in place, and the guys that took the emotion out and put their open orders in ahead of planting and just walked away and focused on growing a crop and raising their family and living living life, they're happy. They're tickled pink. They're half-hedged, and they have plenty of time over the winter to wait for the next bump in price and go from there. It's the ones that get caught up in the day-to-day, you know, and got caught up in the emotion or listened to weathermen giving price forecasts that got caught unsold and now are struggling with what they have to do or what they're going to do. So it's one of those deals where, you know, you got to decide what you're going to focus on, and you also got to quantify or put some money or value on what your peace of mind is worth too. It's what I tell guys a lot of times, and you know, what's it going to take to get you to sleep at night?
And that's a very important thing. And we're going to talk the hedging and the risk when we come at the end of the show. But I know you wrote an article, and it's one of my taglines that I sign off most of my things that I write with, and it's trade the market you have, not the market you want. Okay.
Yeah.
And I want you to explain what that means, because a lot of people don't understand what that really means, but that's an important concept, because you can't change the conditions. All you can do is change the way you attack them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's you just made it more clear than I could in a lot of ways. So that's exactly it. Is too many times I get guys that tell me, I wish this or I wish that, or if only this or if only that. Well, that's great. I mean, if my grandma always used to tell me, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. And I didn't quite understand it until I got into this. And it's the same thing. If I'd have known this, but if I knew better, you know, yada, yada, yada. Well, no shit. That's how life is. If I'd have known this in high school and it would have ended up this way, I'd have been better off, you know, and so that's life. I remember going back to the TV appearances and the comments that you get. I was on U.S. Farm Report last November, December timeframe, and told guys in the Western Corn Belt I thought that was going to be some of their best basis opportunity they were going to see, and that it makes sense to start locking some in. You know, I had one guy tell me that, well, this basis sucks. I can't do that. This is bullshit. But that's sometimes your best opportunity isn't necessarily what you want. And that's what you've got to keep in mind, is you've got to give yourself a rational standpoint to it and keep in mind, okay, in these current conditions, what's my best opportunity? You know, at this point in time, you see these corn get up to 385, you better be selling some of it if you have to move some. You know, if you need your cash flow or space or something of that nature, which right now seems like a hope and a prayer to have a 50-cent rally, but we've seen stranger things happen in just the past 2 months, so... you know, 385, no, it's not 440, which is what I'll get from guys when I tell them, you got to look for 385. Well, I wanted 440. well, you should have taken it when you got it, because what you want and what you're going to get at this point in time might be two very different things, unless you're prepared to wait for an exceptional amount of time, you know, perhaps another weather market event or something of that nature next year, unless it happens sooner. But you've got to be prepared or be aware of what your conditions are surrounding your market, and then help kind of factor that in when it comes to determining what's going to be your best opportunity.
Well, and of course, farmers and producers by nature have to be bullish, right? I mean, listen, if you're going to borrow all that money to put that crop in the ground, okay, you got to be bullish. But I think sometimes they tend to be a little bit too much gambling when it comes to the market, instead of staying the steady course and setting themselves up properly. And I think that becomes a problem, because, you know, if you like them at 380, you got to love them at 350. And if you like them at 350, you got to love them at 330. And of course, that's not the case. And that's not the way markets work. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, it's the same thing right now. We're looking at that 349 mark on the December board, and praying we can trade above that 340 mark. And just a month and a half ago, the thought we hit 340 was out of our thought process. It goes back to everything that we've talked about for quite some time. And I think the worst thing that happened in this market structure was the 06, 07, 08 rallies in the first place, because those came at a time when no one had expected them whatsoever. I mean, you could trade 275 corn on the D's and know that you were at the high level of the market. You know, it had been for years and years and years, other than what, 94, 95 time frame. So that started where guys got a feel of you know, I call it their first hit at hopium. You know what I mean? And it's just like the white dragon. You're always chasing how great that first time felt. And that was it. The first time they had $2 corn that they sold for $4, you know, why the hell would I sell $2 corn ever again? And then in 2012, you know, we went into the growing season being told just how burdensome stocks would be just how much grain was going to be on hand and this, that, and the other thing. And we had an epic drought, you know, and everyone keeps waiting for that epic drought to happen again. And there's a reason that they're a once in a lifetime, experience for most guys. It's a once in a generation drought. And so everyone's kind of waiting to see us get another 2012 drought 4 years later. And the odds are against that. So, I always tell guys during my meetings and things like that they've got to get rid of the hopium. The hope is not a marketing strategy, is the one thing. It goes back to like I said, your P&L. And okay, guys, well, I don't know how much corn I'm going to produce. Well, you have a general idea of how much you've produced over the last several years, and you'll adjust that as the growing season progresses based on conditions, you know, but you're never going to sell 100% of your crop. But if you're in a point where you're hitting profitability and you know that you're going to need the cash flow and things of that nature, you need to be a seller. And if you still want to be bullish, that's fine. But I always say that's why God created call options.
We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. This is this is the goddess, Demeter, the Greek goddess, the goddess of grain, Angie Setzer from Citizens Elevator. We got it right this time. Even if Broken Clock is right twice a day. This is the Bubba Show, Top Bubba Horace. When you miss the show, you got to go to libertytalk.fm and download it. You get that and the Sporting Editor. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace. We will be right back with Angie Setzer right after the break. The Bubba Show.
And I was proud.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace. We come in the home stretch with the goddess, Angie Setzer. The goddess of grains, at goddess of grains on Twitter. Citizens Elevator, vice president, trader extraordinaire. All right, my dear. So you mentioned something, call options. That's why there's call options. And I say BS. I say there's much better strategies that you can use to trade and create synthetic long positions as well as hedging. But I want to know what your opinion is of how you would go about it. Now, again, you know, I'm a big believer that every farmer should be always hedged at any price, mm-hmm. because you never know when the market's down. But if you hedge correctly, you can leave the upside open for the big market, but you always have to predict the downside against that marketing plan. What do you say?
Oh, I agree 100%. And it always depends on how in-depth the farmer trader is or how much experience he has. And that's what I always joke, I leave the big, heavy synthetic stuff to guys like you, because when it comes down to it, you've forgotten more about how to maintain a properly hedged position through synthetic longs and things of that nature than I'll ever know, because I focus on the actual cash movement, stuff like that. And most of the guys that I work with, you know, are your multi-generational family farmer that they approach their marketing plan very similar to what their dad always did. And when it comes to getting real in-depth information or really expanding their mindset, they want to focus on how to produce more bushels more so than how to change their approach to marketing. And you know, I'm not saying what's right, wrong, or indifferent on that side, except for, you know, when it comes down to it, yeah, a guy should always be hedged. In the elevator business, I am always hedged. If I'm long, I have a short on the – if I'm long physical, I'm short on the board. You know, and a farmer has the ability to do these things. They just tend to forget that they have that capability. And there's a lot of different or conflicting ideas in the business when it comes to cash grain marketing. You know, I believe a farmer should market his grain like an elevator, which goes down to what you're saying, where they're hedged all the time. And they're capable of doing it. The market has structures built to where they can make any trade they want to make. And that's, I'll get a lot of guys that'll call me and say, well, I need to do this. Can I do it? Yes, you can. You know, the market will give you any ability to trade anything you want to. It's just a matter of how much money you want to spend and what kind of approach you want to take. So it's from a cash side, it gets touchy every now and again. I always tell them, though, that they're able to lock in the absolute downside on the bushels that they have sold. You know, and it's the bushels that are unsold or the bushels that they're producing that are unhedged that they struggle with. And, you know, I love to hear your approach to it because it is such a good way to go about it and to make sure that, you know, the millions of dollars that you're investing in crop production comes out paying you in the long run, you're in the black.
So, you know, I just think that we tend to, as farmers, we tend to gamble a little bit too much, and we don't we don't run the business the way it's supposed to run. And of course, once you open up the door, you bring in the emotion element, and that's the worst thing you can do, because that's, you know, the emotions of fear and greed drive every market. We saw it July 4th, the emotion of fear. We saw it on the USA report, the emotion of fear. Greed on July 4th, fear on August 12th. And these are things that you have to understand, whereas it has to become a business, and you have to run it as such and not screw around. Now, once you have your costs locked in and you're profitable and you want to play a little bit, go play to your heart's content. But I've seen many traders go broke because if you're probably not old enough to remember, but, you know, wheat always traded at about a dollar premium to corn. And it was it was an automatic. When it got narrower, you would buy it. You'd buy wheat, sell corn. And when it got wider, you'd do the opposite. Well, of course, back during the collapse in the stock market, wheat inverted to corn. And, of course, it broke thousands of traders who had done that forever and made nothing but money, and all of a sudden it didn't work anymore. And that's what I think people don't understand, is the amount of risk and how to manage that risk. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. I think a lot of people outside of the agriculture industry would absolutely shit themselves if they knew the amount of money that went into investing into a crop every year, the millions of dollars that's spent on inputs and equipment and livelihoods that basically is put all on black and carried that way for many months, sometimes years or more. I've seen some guys that have crops from the 2014 production year that they're still waiting for. God knows what kind of rally they're waiting for, but they still have it unpriced, and they're going into this crop year unpriced. I mean, it amazes me sometimes. And like I said, I think some people would be absolutely flabbergasted at the amount of money that the dice is rolled on. And so it all goes back down to it, is being aware of what your costs are. And once you have your costs locked in, which most guys do anymore 6 months ahead of when they even put the first seed in the ground, you know, and once you have your costs locked in and you have a general understanding of what your production history is, you know, you know at that point in time, you're roundabout, you're break even. And that's when you start to make determinations or decisions as to when you market, when you put your floor in place, whether that's you know, via your synthetic longs or a long in general, and you go forward and you make the decisions and you sell accordingly and you run it like a business. And I agree with you. I mean, this isn't your grandpa's market. You know, it's not one of those things where you spend X amount of dollars and watch a 20-cent trading range in corn for a year and a half. There's millions and if not billions of dollars lost every day on bad bets. And the last thing you want to do is get caught up in it when you're trying to run a business and have something that you can pass down to your family.
Well, and we'll say this, farmers invest millions to put that farm together. It's a challenge. It's a big job. And what happens is you have to make sure you're always protecting the bottom line, because that's how you're going to get out. And that's why it's important, especially today, with as hard as it is to borrow money because of all the stupid regulations. You have to make sure that you protect yourself, because otherwise the banks aren't going to loan you the money, and then you're going to be out of business versus in business. But your first objective is to be emotion free when it comes to the market, knowing what happens. And that's something you said, very important. The history, your personal history of what you produce, your personal history of what you've got in it, that's the first thing you have to come, and that's the first part of your marketing plan, so you can kind of have an understanding where to go. What do you think?
Oh, I agree 100%. That's what I mean. I get guys that, you know, I get gnashing of teeth and people screaming at me when I tell them that they know. No, I have no idea how to tell. I have no idea. No, you have history. You know, this isn't your first year. This isn't your first rodeo. You know what that ground produces or what it's capable of producing. You know or have a general idea as to how the weather is going to impact your yield capabilities. And you're not going out. I mean, I'm not asking you. And I think that's what happens so many times, is guys get bogged down, or it's the way they approach it, where they think they need to know a final number and it needs to be accurate to the tenth decimal point. That's not the case. You just need to have a ballpark figure with which you're going to operate. And then as more details become clear, i.e. you get further into the production season, or you know, you know what you're looking at from an income standpoint or something like that, as things get more clear, then you can kind of add in, factor in, maybe take off some risk management positions that you put in place in the first place, and go from there. You have to have a plan first to develop, and then as the year moves forward, you adjust it or fine-tune it, and that's how life goes in any business. You know, you can't go to a bank and borrow money without having some sort of five-year plan or some sort of outline as to how you're going to be able to pay them back. But you'd be amazed at how many farmers will come to, you know, our elevator or another input supplier like that and have their hand out for hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars worth of seed, fertilizer, and chemicals, and become almost combative or angry when we sit down and say, okay, well, how do you plan on paying this back? You know, we're not doing it to insult your family or your ability to do so. We just need to make sure that our investment's going to be one that's put in solidly, and that the emotion, you know, that comes with everything farming isn't necessarily what's running the show when it comes to working your pocketbook.
Angie, you are awesome. The goddess Demeter herself has spent the day with us today, and we got to have you back, because I got lots more stuff to talk to you about, but unfortunately, we ran out of time. But Angie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. I look forward to coming back.
This was the goddess herself, Angie Setzer, from Citizens Elevator, and as trader extraordinaire, also TV star. She's a star everywhere. We love having her on. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horse. We're going to take the rest of the day and tell you we'll see you tomorrow. You miss an episode, you got to go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show, as well as the Sporting Edge. That's the Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horse. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks. Wake up, Maggie.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.